All right, we are back. Hour number two. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it very much. And a lot of you sending different things during that last hour that we always have with Dr. Kelly. And again, appreciate that. If any of you miss anything, you can always go back and re-listen to anything that we've covered. Again, just go to rushtoreason.com. You can just go through the menu and click on the things you need there. And you can even send that on to friends and family if need be. Fred Sievert joining us now. Fred, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, John. Glad to be on the show.
Well, I appreciate you joining us very much. We're going to talk today about navigating that first job. Some folks now, of course, are graduating, you know, maybe high school going into a job or college going into a job. And this, and you wrote a book about this, and if I'm not mistaken, because my notes tell me that you started all of this because of a question asked by your daughter, right?
That's right. Yeah, my daughter, I was the president of New York Life Insurance Company, and my daughter, so we had a big team, 65,000 agents and employees, and my daughter was she graduated from college. She was in an entry-level position, kind of languishing there at the bottom of a big global corporation, and she came to me and said, "Dad, you know, you got to give me some tips on how to get noticed, how to build a career, how to be identified as a high-potential individual." So I thought long and hard about that, and I came up with five tips that I gave her.
Okay.
She followed them extremely well, and as a result, had several promotions in the next 3 or 4 years.
Nice.
So I ended up using those tips in a couple of commencement addresses I did. It got a lot of positive feedback, so I wrote a brief article about it, and my literary agent called me and he said, "Fred, you know, you've got another book here." He says, I don't see anything like this on the marketplace. So I went ahead and published the book.
Awesome.
And you know, it couldn't have been done at a more perfect time right now.
No, that's right. And by the way, the book is Fast Starting a Career of Consequence, Practical Christ-Centered Advice for Entering or Re-entering the workforce. And no, you're right, Fred. You couldn't have picked a better time to write it, given everything that's happened over the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, in fact, the market, originally the market, you know, publishers will tell you to, you know, constrict your target a very small market.
Okay.
And a tight market. So my original market was Christian college students. And then I decided to change that subtitle to include re-entering the workforce, because I was thinking about adults coming back from childbearing years or veterans coming back from military service. So I changed the subtitle. Then, you know, we're midstream in COVID, and suddenly there's millions of people, you know, coming back from COVID furloughs or reimagining their future. So the market just expanded very dramatically, and even though there's a faith-based aspect to this, if you went on Amazon.com and read the reviews of the book, what you'd find is more than half of them say, "This book is not just for Christians because of the great value of the business."
Awesome. You know what, Fred, that's just a testament to the book itself and what you've done, because, you know, again, not that I don't value the Christian and the Christ-centered side, I do, but I also know as a business owner and business person myself, there are just some core principles that really transcendent, that they'll go across the lines. It doesn't make any difference. They're just core values people need to know. So I guess a question for you, can we go through those five things?
Let me mention before I get into the five tips. The book is structured with five chapters on biblical principles in the workplace.
Nice.
And then there's 10 chapters. I expanded from the five tips to 10. I know we don't have time to cover
all
this.
That's
all right. But the interesting thing you said was about the integration. And this book, it's actually integrated so that the biblical principles chapters have numerous examples of my business experience where I was applying those principles. Mm-hmm. And the business chapters have numerous biblical and scriptural references in them. So it's really total integrated. Totally.
That's
integrated.
Awesome.
So the five tips I gave my daughter, I'm just going to rifle through the five.
Okay.
And tell me which ones you want to hear more about. One of them, chapter 6, was demonstrating commitment to your company. Chapter 7 was understand and embrace the company's mission. Chapter 8 is develop cultural and organizational awareness. And chapter 9, develop and demonstrate strategic thinking capability. And chapter 10 was understand the financial underpinnings of the business. So those were the five I gave her. The last two about strategic thinking and financial underpinnings were probably the most difficult, but I think the most important keys to her,
Her future success. I think really to a lot of individuals, Fred, even people that have been in the workforce for a very long time. And to me as an owner, those two things are key. If all of my employees understood those last two principles, not that the rest aren't good, they are. I mean, having commitment and the other three things that you mentioned, yes, those are huge for any company. But those last two, the more they understand those things, the more they understand what they need to do for the company to make it successful. And you and I both know if the company's successful, they will be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And those last two, by the way, you know, as I said, the market expanded dramatically. But I'm getting a lot of interest from people, even in their 50s and 60s, who are reimagining their future and thinking about starting an entrepreneurial business, or they're already in a big company and they still want to find ways to succeed in advance. And those two chapters are really the most important for those folks.
Well, and Fred, that's partially because, and I talk about this a lot on air, and it's just a fact. I'm not, you know, belittling anybody. It just is what it is. We've not, I frankly think it's on purpose, but we've not taught financial acclimation for quite some time in school systems. I mean, I graduated all the way back in the 80s, and we were still learning how to balance a checkbook at that point in time. But since that time, you know, very few kids today understand anything about not only what a checkbook is, but how would you go about balancing it, and how do you make proper investments, and what is the bottom line of a company? I mean, I coach businesses, Fred, and I will tell you that some of the things that I get into with certain clients right off the bat is just what does the P&L mean? You know, what are we actually making profit-wise on what we're doing on a daily basis? What do these expenses mean? How do we control those? I mean, there's so many things that even seasoned owners, frankly, Fred, just don't understand.
You're hitting a lot of stuff that's in my book. And if I have time, I'd like to just tell you.
No, we got time. Go ahead. No, we're fine on time. Go ahead. Good. Go ahead.
I want to tell you how I approached those two chapters with my daughter, because she was a French major in college.
Okay.
And so I said to her, on the strategic thinking one, when I said that to her, she says, "I don't even know what you're talking about, Dad." And I said, "Well, let me tell you, the etymology of the word strategy was it was a war term. How do you defeat the enemy? And the business analog is how do you beat the competition?" So I said to her, I want you to understand and study up on your own company's products, markets, you know, and how they're approaching those markets. And then I want you to do the same thing with the competition, because you're not going to be able to understand strategy unless you understand how you're going to go about beating the competition. So she did that, and she was in a large cosmetic firm, global cosmetic firm. And I said, the other thing I'd like you to do is buy your competitor's products and do comparisons against those products, against your own company's products. And then in the book, I think the best couple of pages in the book is I list a number of questions, strategic questions that somebody can ask that will really help to generate strategic thinking. Mm-hmm. And really at New York Life, my top management team, I was the president, I had 10 or 12 people reporting to me. And, you know, those people, I'd say half of them had a good feel for the difference between strategy and tactics. And, you know, strategy is really about developing sustainable competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that unless you really fully understand your own company's strategies.
Right.
And how it stacks up against the competitions, not only in strategically, but in terms of products and distribution and so forth. So that was that chapter. And she understood that, and she did a lot of her own homework on that to get up to speed. The financial one is even more interesting, because she said to me, "Dad, I didn't even have a math class, an economics class, an accounting class, or any kind of finance class in college. How are you going to expect me to do this?" And I said, "Well, look, you're a new young person to the company. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to somebody in the accounting department and say, just give me a fundamental understanding of the balance sheet and the income statement. Rudimentary. You know, you don't have to know how to calculate each number and what each line number means. I just want you to know how the income statement flows into the balance sheet. And then I said, I want you to create a spreadsheet, that you knew how to do that. I said, on that spreadsheet, you're going to put six numbers in a column each quarter. And her company is publicly traded, so you can get these six numbers. And the six numbers are from the income statement, it's the revenue, the expenses, and the net income or the profit. From the balance sheet, it's the asset, the liabilities, and the net equity.
Yep.
And I said, track those. It's just like you were saying earlier. I said, track those for every quarter. And watch the trends and start asking about the trends. What's going on? Why are our expenses going up by so much? You know, why are if your revenues are growing by a lot, but your bottom line isn't, why is that happening?
Right.
And so she did that, and she started asking these kinds of questions. And then I said to her, the next thing I want you to do is go back to the guy in accounting and say, ask him what I call the killer question. And actually, MarketWatch.com saw my book and asked me to expand, not my book, the article I wrote, and asked me to expand on MarketWatch.com, the Wall Street Journal blog, where they get 20 million views per month. And they said, expand on tip number five. That was Tim Chapter 10 of my book, but it was tip number five. And so I did, and they published it, and they called it the title of the article. Here's the killer question. Here's exactly how I want you to ask it, and that is, what drives the profitability of our business?
Mm-hmm.
And she asked, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if the guy in accounting says, I'll have to get back to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But,
yeah.
You know, there's only a few factors that drive the profitability. Now, later I told her, you know, you can...
And by the way, it's not just cutting expenses, which a lot of bean counters would say.
Absolutely.
In fact, sometimes, Fred, that can kill a business if you're not careful.
Absolutely, yeah. Sometimes you have to make those investments.
That's right.
To hit.
Yeah. For example, a company can kill off its marketing and advertising, saving money, and it might work short term, but in the end, that's going to kill them.
Absolutely. And so I said to her, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the CEO of this big global cosmetic company hears that there's somebody down, this girl down in the marketing department, is asking a question like that. You know what? He did hear. And, you know, this is why the book, it's got so many practical tips like this in every chapter.
Awesome.
That, you know, it's why my agent said, you know, there's nothing like this out there.
No, there's
so
not.
So I ended up adding, you know, five more tips. And, you know, I'm getting a lot of great positive feedback. And, you know, my passion has always been to impact people's lives.
Right.
And, you know, by speaking and writing about my faith and my business experience. And this book did both those things.
That is awesome. Fred, this has been a joy having you. I kept you longer than what I really told you I would, which I appreciate you doing very, very much. You've been very gracious. And by the way, we will definitely have you back. As you can tell, we both speak similar languages. You know a lot more about it than I do, and I'm very blessed to be speaking to you, and I know our audience is as well, and we appreciate it very much.
I'm blessed to be on, and I got to say to you, most of the people who interview me don't have the kind of business sense that you have.
Well, thank you.
I mean, we are speaking the same language.
Well, thank you, Fred. That means a lot. I appreciate that very much. Trust me. Thank you. Anyway, we'll have you back. So thank you. Enjoy your evening, and thanks for your extra time, Fred. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. Have a great evening. Very gracious and great book. In fact, another one of those books where if you've got a individual you know graduating high school or college, I would say either one. In fact, the sooner they start learning some of these things, the better. There's nothing wrong with giving this to a high school graduate. Again, Fast Starting, A Career of Consequence, Practical Christ-Centered Advice for Entering or Re-entering the Workforce. And as you heard Fred say a moment ago, you don't have to be a Christian to read this. He's written it in a way where everyone out there can benefit, including people that maybe have been in a career for a really long time and is thinking about maybe doing something a little bit different. The book would be for you as well. This is John Rush from Rush to Reason and Drive Radio. Thank you so much for listening. Check out more of our podcasts at rushtoreason.com or drive-radio.com.